I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 486. You're saved from the spoilers. Panda's not. This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hi.
How you
I
doing?
I feel like I've been seeing you.
You haven't. You actually haven't seen me.
It's been a long time.
Yeah. Been a long time. In a real line of running around. And by that, I mean, we haven't seen each other in a few weeks.
I know. Or yeah. Talk to each other.
Yeah.
Or like send
fix
Instagram.
Your life, sis. I'm in the same place. As like you I'm well know.
I'm everywhere and nowhere at the same time.
A girl has no name or no life. Pick it up. I don't know.
Both. That should be our new podcast.
A girl has
the
no
girl
name.
Has no name and no life.
No life. Oh. I'm in the same place. I just finished up my big project so I can actually come up like for air and be a human being again.
I finished my big project and I'm still alive.
Yeah. Still alive. I'm so glad to be done with that project because I can now play games again, which is
I'm
awesome.
Just glad I don't have to cater to the man as much now.
Actually, you do.
I mean, that's
actually part of your job is to, in fact, cater to the man. But hey, you know what? Such is your lot in life. But
now I only have to cater to like 3 men as opposed to 30 of them.
Right. So there's that. Okay. So we have a bunch to talk about. I have a bunch to talk about. I'm going to rub my fucking mouth all over
You're
this podcast.
Rub your mouth, and I'm just going to nod slowly in agreement until I
on some say, things. On some
and then
things.
Slowly and slowly nod against it when I have a dissenting opinion.
So there are 2 things that I'm going to talk about on this podcast, and one of them, unfortunately, Panda did not get to play, so she's just going to have to take it.
Yep, like a bitch.
I warn you. I attempted to assuage some of what you were going to be lamenting. And, unfortunately, you were not able to gird your loins. So, you know, I don't really feel bad about it anymore. 2 things on this podcast, people. We're going to be talking about Disney getting out of gaming. Because that was some really surprising and big news this week. And we're going to be talking about Uncharted 4. I'm going to warn you right now. I'm going to spoil the ever-loving Jesus out of Uncharted 4. So if you have not finished the game and you do not want it spoiled, I'm going to tell you, as soon as I stop talking about Disney, do not listen to the rest of this podcast.
Okay, great. So that means I can take off my headset and just walk away.
Not you, Panda. You're stuck. I said you have to take it.
I do.
Okay, but they don't.
That's right.
Okay, guys. So this is
walk
my
away.
Not being a dick and spoiling it for you accidentally and then saying spoiler alert after. I'm putting it up front. As soon as I stop talking about the Disney stuff with Panda, if you don't want Uncharted 4 spoiled for you, stop listening. Okay?
Play it and then come back to this episode.
Then come back to this episode and you can determine whether or not you agree or not. And hey, if you do or even if you don't, hit us up on our social and share what you thought of the game with us. I was really surprised. I mean, really surprised by the news this week. Disney announced that they were going to be ending their run, not only with Disney Infinity. So after the pre-mentioned launches...
The Amiibos are too strong.
Not about Amiibos. Like, look, we talked a while ago, and I've been on multiple podcasts where we talked about Toys to Life being... something that was really fatty when you thought about it. And I agreed, and I said the only saving grace is that the figures are so unique and interesting across the spectrum, because you've got Skylanders, you've got Amiibos, and you've got the Disney Infinity characters. They all look so different, but they are such good-looking characters, and there's so much nostalgia. There are people that buy Amiibos that don't even have a Nintendo system. There are people that buy Disney Infinity figures that don't have a game console at all. They buy them because they have affinity for the characters.
Oh, don't forget Lego Dimensions.
Oh, yeah, and Lego Dimensions. You know, but they buy the figures because they love that character. They like the design of that character in that particular, you know, game franchise. And that's what fuels that business. But Disney is actually getting out of console gaming altogether. The shutdown of Infinity was not the only thing. They are actually pulling stakes up and they are leaving the game industry.
So does that mean we're not going to get Kingdom Hearts 3?
Here's the thing you got to remember about Kingdom Hearts 3 is that Kingdom Hearts 3 is not just a Disney game. It is a Square.
Right, but would that mean
it's the Disney? No. Because remember, Disney wasn't hardcore into the gaming stuff when they licensed their characters with Square. Okay. So the deal with Square is a licensing, not production and distribution. Square made the game, and they still
distributed.
And then
their characters just happened to be in it.
It's that they were paying Disney, and therefore going through for the rights to use the likenesses and the characters, and to tell a story with their characters, and to get the voice acting okayed, and to get the look and the feel, because Disney had to sign off on every character look, so every character costs, because they own those characters and those likenesses, so it's a licensing deal there. So Kingdom Hearts 3 is still safe, because that is primarily a Square project working with Disney, not a Disney Interactive Disney Interactive does not exist anymore.
Okay.
Okay, so those 300 jobs, gone. And Infinity will conclude with the last two, basically, DLC episodes that they had planned to release in May and, I believe, in June. And then that's it. There's no more Infinity. So they're not going to be making any more. So now is the time, if you're missing any power discs or anything like that, or if there are any figures that you really want, now is the time to get them. So I'm telling you right now, sis, because you were supposed to give me for Christmas one year the line of Guardians of the Galaxy Infinity figures, and I didn't get them. And I'm telling you right now, I want them.
All right, well, okay.
Or at least Gamora. All right. Or at least Gamora.
Thank you for giving me one, because I'll get you to one.
There's a big cachet that Mario has that is different and drives people differently than Mickey. Okay, but they're still just as strong. Like, remember when we went to E3 and they were making the mouse hats at the Disney Interactive booth?
I remember because I stood
that in line.
Well, they were making Oswald. They were Oswald.
That's right. They were Oswald hats
because of the power of two.
Yeah. Okay. Now, the power of two didn't do what Disney wanted. Okay, it was not as successful as they had hoped. You know, just like the Mickey game before it, where you were drawing and inking things back into existence.
Right.
Okay. And so Infinity was the first big breakout hit for Disney Interactive in quite some time. I think ultimately, you know, Disney did not have the year that they wanted to have. A very weird time right now in video games, because it seems like for as much success as we've seen over the last year with some great titles, you know, Tomb Raider did really well, Quantum Break did really well. You know, there was a lot of successes over the last year, and indies, you know, especially indies coming to console looked really great. It was kind of like by the way, here's a kick in the nads for you, because this and this and this and also this is going away. And you're like, what just happened? Or at least I was. Because it came out of no place. Like, no one that I was talking to had even heard murmurs of Disney wanting to pull out of games. So it came out of no place. Do I think that Toys to Life has run its course? You know, I don't know.
I think it's hit a stride where if you're not a part of that life, it doesn't affect you. But if you are, then you're comfortable enough to go, you know what, every few months when they release something that I know I really want, I'll invest in that. but it's not, I don't think it's a, oh my God, guys, the new to life toy is coming out in 4 days. I'm going to camp out in front of Evil G and possibly lose my job. Like, I don't think that
Toys to Life was ever at that level, because the majority of the audience for Toys to Life were young kids. And I think, you know, the people that started with Skylanders, you know, they've grown into, because they're grown up, they've grown into more adult games, so they phased out of it. And there's no reintroduction to Skylanders. You know, I don't think that the cartoon is still running, you know, so you don't have an introduction to the toy,
right,
for a young group. You know, Nintendo is the everlasting kids platform, right? Like, everybody at any point in time feels comfortable plopping their kid in front of a Mario game, because you know Mario, and you know you can trust Nintendo, because they're a known quantity, right? Right. You don't know Skylanders like you know Nintendo. You don't know Lego like you know Nintendo, because Lego sneaks some adult fucking situations and jokes into their games, and they're just so fast that more times than not, you don't catch them unless you rewatch it and things like that.
I think Lego sits in that realm where you know that your general demographic for Legos are either extremely young
or extremely old, or
extremely old with kids.
Right.
And they're trying to reintroduce that.
But there's no middle ground in there unless you're dealing with the science club who's, you know, trying to build robots with their mechanized robots with their Legos.
Yeah.
So I'm sad at the news, and I hope that everyone affected at Disney Interactive is able to find new positions and great positions in the industry. I need more Infinity figures in my life of characters that I enjoy, because I love the style, and I really wish that they had taken me up on my recommendation and made an art book of how they took existing characters and brought them into the Infinity
into that
style.
Art style.
Yeah. That would have been, I would have bought like
that been
two
an
copies
art person's
of that.
Dream.
Yo, I would have bought like two copies of that. One to actually put away, and then one to actually get all grimy and look at and
like
scan.
Eat it with your Cheeto paws.
Exactly. Like there's the one that like when I'm eating my Doritos and be like, oh, I love that character. I love that character. Oh, I got Dorito dust on it.
I'm thinking about all that. Now I'm not even thinking about the Cheeto dust. I'm thinking about when you try to clean your hand and that's like that weird crappy paste. Stuff. It'd be like, yeah, I like this one, and I just hear like that smush when you touch it. Oh, it's so creepy. So gross.
Oh. So, like I said, guys, now is the time. I'm about to start talking about A Thief's End. So hit pause, switch to something else.
Go watch some episodes of Peppa Pig.
Oh, watch some of the remixes on YouTube of Peppa Pig where they make Peppa, like, listen to, like, really hard ghetto hip-hop and stuff when she's like, this is my jam. And then they start playing a Millie.
The song Bustin', where the guy who did the original Ghostbusters theme song, someone did a really cool mix of Bustin' to video clips from the movie. And I'm like, I kind of want this at my wedding, but I don't want people to be like, Bustin' nuts. Don't bust nuts at my wedding.
Yeah, don't bust nuts at anybody's wedding. That's not cool. Like, after, that's all on you, but not, like, at the wedding.
I don't care, but, well, because, you know, the whole busting makes me feel good. I was like, no, probably should not have that at the wedding.
Yeah, don't have that.
Have some indecent exposure.
Look, I can tell you, at least our side of the family can't be trusted.
Nope. Love you guys. Can't trust
it. I'm just saying, can't trust it.
Anyway.
All right, so that's it, guys. This is all the filler you're getting. I hope that you have turned it off, because I'm about to spoil the ever-loving Jesus.
Go grow some chia pets.
Yeah, get a chia pet. Go for a run. If you're listening to this on iTunes, switch over to Beats One Radio. Listen to that instead. Like, now is the time to make
Go listen to Two Dope
switch.
Queens.
Yeah, seriously, listen to Two Dope Queens instead. Okay, you ready?
Ready.
I hope everybody left.
My body's ready.
Okay.
My mind isn't.
All right.
My mind's telling me no, but my body's saying you have to stay here.
Yeah, you do. Look, you can fix it. I finished my game, so you can come over anytime you want, Panda, and run a game on my system.
Oh, I was about to say, like, you're going to let me take it?
I got it digitally, so yeah, I can't really do that.
I was like, ah!
But you can come over. I will order pizza.
Oh, you have me at pizza.
I will make popcorn. I know how to get you.
I hate pizza. That I am so easily bought into a situation. I hate the tangent, but I'm going to tangent. Give people a little bit more time. So at my job, really quickly, I don't have any real work friends. Like, I have coworkers that I can associate.
I have a work wife already.
I don't. Because I'm the office manager, so, like, everyone tries to suck
you
up to me.
You are the work wife.
I am. Everyone talks to me, and they suck up to me, and they tell me how pretty I am, and then they tell me they need some binders.
Okay, let's wrap this up, B, because anyway, I need to get this out.
Right, all right, really quickly. So I finally have a work friend. She's totally awesome. Like, we kind of came on board at the same time. And, like, we're going to take belly dancing classes. And she's like, and there's a cool pizza place right in my, you had me at pizza. So here I am shoveling out money for this awesome class, which I'm really excited about, but I'm more excited about the pizza after the class.
Look, pizza is worth being excited about. I've told you this before. That's nothing to be ashamed of. Pizza is fucking awesome. You should always be excited about pizza. When someone's like, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to get pizza. I don't care what we're going to do this is. The final thing of, and then we're going to get pizza, is the thing to be excited about, okay? I don't care if someone's like, oh, man.
Other spies, you can come with me.
And then we're
going to
get pizza. You're like, yeah. Do I want pepperoni? Maybe I want to go, like, with a Hawaiian. Like, I don't care about the spies.
Pizza's involved, like, down.
Yeah. So, I will order pizza.
Oh, you got me. You got me in the pizza heart.
Okay. I will make popcorn. You will have Dev.
Popcorn, but not
okay.
With
the and then think of it this way, okay? You will have no Eshdog the second barking, no crazy Eshdog the fourth.
Yeah, technically, because Nugget's the third.
Right? Okay. Or cats, like Bon, and you will just have the little Nuggets.
Pizza, popcorn, and
the one that likes to snuggle, and Nathan Drake. This is what I have to offer, sis.
Okay. You already have me at pizza.
Right?
Now I'm going to show up and be like, where's my pizza?
Pizza. Okay. Good pizza,
anyway,
too.
Back to the game.
All right. So here's what happened, guys. So I, after finally finishing my big project, was able to play games, and I told my husband, and I told anybody who had listened, like, you cannot talk to me in these evenings because I am about to play the ever-loving Jesus. And I do mean the ever-loving Jesus out of Uncharted. I'm finishing this before we record the podcast because there's no way that I can do a podcast this week if I have not finished this game. Because I know when I get into it, I'm gonna wanna finish it.
If I could see it. I actually half imagined that you'd be like, hey, Panda, we have to do the show Monday night because I'm not done.
If I hadn't finished it, we would.
I was expecting that text at 9:30 this morning.
And we would put out a message on Facebook and on Twitter. Podcast is going to be delayed a day because we're finishing Uncharted. And if I had known that you weren't going to be able to get your hands on it, I would have made you come over yesterday night. To watch the ending.
I had it in the cards, and then I looked at my bank statement.
And your statement was like, no. And also, like, nope. No.
Nope, so not today.
No. Not today.
And then I was like, fiance? Like, because he likes to surprise me sometimes. I'm like,
and
so,
you're like, fiance?
Is there a surprise for me this week in the form of a charter? And he was like, no. I'm like, what do you mean, no?
Like, he was like, I meant the nah and the ugh.
Here's the because you know he works for the industry and like they get games all the time and he's like we got like 4 copies at the office and I'm like qual est le fouc, man, qual est le fouc?
Yeah, seriously,
bring it home for research. I give zero what your reasoning is. Just bring it to my face.
I need to understand how their physics engine works.
Yeah, like I
boom.
Need to understand,
just like that, just like
I
that.
I need to understand Unity in a way that normal women don't understand Unity.
Right. But anyway, all right. So, I got the digital version of the game because I wanted to be able to play it right off the bat. And I also wanted to keep myself from buying the collector's edition.
Good call, bro.
You know, because I am also on budgetary restriction. And Sony doesn't send us shit. So, I got the digital version. And I was not prepared for how big of a download Uncharted is. I mean, I knew it was a big game because it looks great, but when you get the digital version, if you get the digital version, the first question it will ask you is, hey, what are you more interested in playing, like, right off the bat? The single player or the multiplayer? Because we'll download that
first.
And we'll do the other one, like, later when you're not paying attention. And I was like, oh, I'll play single player because I really want to get through the story first because I don't really much play multiplayer. As a matter of fact, the only multiplayer Uncharted I ever played was when I was playing with you and Bram because it was the only multiplayer that I could actually get you to play with me.
Well, that's because I was going all hardcore with it, too.
Yeah. So I was like, I'll do the single campaign. And it's like, great. Let us just download that 12 gigs real quick and then you can play it. And I was like, oh, okay, well then I'm going to go and get a tea and some biscuits.
Some tea and crumpets.
I got my tea and my biscuits, and thankfully I have really good internet late at night, so it took a little over an hour to download, and that's just because I had to pause my network in the middle of it. But got it downloaded, so I watched like a couple of daily shows that I hadn't caught up on from earlier in the week, and I was good to go. Jumped right in. And, you know, a lot of people are going to say that Uncharted is a gorgeous game. And they're not wrong. It is a
beautiful... are they right?
They're right. It is a beautiful game. I mean, but the Uncharted games are always beautiful games. Okay, that's it. That's almost a given. And Uncharted was always a beautiful game for whatever platform it came out on at that time. It was pushing the hardware to its fullest. And it was a stunningly beautiful game. The models always look great. Like, Nathan Drake has always looked like a person. But in this game, like, he really looks real. There are times where I found myself going, am I watching a movie? And then realizing, no, actually you're playing a game right now. Just right off the bat, it's a beautiful game. We don't have to, like, harp on that. The setup is basically picking up a little bit after the last game in the series, where Elena and Drake have paired up, and they've taken the pairing to the max. They got married. You actually, at one point, when you're going through their house, and they have a very nice house, by the way. It's a nice house. Okay, I wish my house was like that. Looks like it's a 4-bedroom, 2-bath. Nice house.
Okay.
You start the game, I should say, out on the ocean, in a boat, fighting other boats with this dude. And you're ramming boats to try and survive because you're trying to get to this island.
Do we know who the dude is?
Yeah. Can I tell my story?
Okay.
Thanks.
Fine.
Okay, fine. The dude is actually your brother, Sam. But at the time, we don't know that that's your brother, Sam. Wait, because you just start now? In the middle of... Yes, Panda. Oh, so much stuff. Okay. So... you get through the battle, and finally a big boat comes and fucks up your boat. You get thrown from the boat because it gets destroyed. You come up from the water, and then it's like, it flashes back to, I can't remember if it said like 3 months prior or 5 months prior or something like that, but it flashes back to how you got there. So you start in the shit, and you're like, why am I on the boat in the middle of this storm? There's a big fucking wave behind me. Why are all these boats shooting at me? Who's the dude behind me? Who's like, Nathan? And you're like, Sam! Who the fuck is Sam? Well, let's find out who Sam is. So you pick back up and it's the present time and you're Nathan and you are searching for something at the bottom of the ocean and you find all this cargo and you get the cargo brought up to the surface and you find that Nathan is working for a salvage company and it's a much less glamorous life. He's just retrieving things that have sunk for this JMI company and the owner is really nice. He's constantly trying to get him to do this job in Malaysia, but he doesn't have the permits for it. And so Nathan's like, absolutely not. If you don't have the permits, I'm not doing it because I'm not doing anything illegal anymore. So you find
anymore.
And so you find out that basically when he and Elena got together, like they both agreed that in order for everything to work, like they could not do the illegal stuff anymore. But you can see from the way that things are going and some of the body language that Nathan's just not happy. Like he's yearning for the adventure and that other stuff. And he's just not being him doing the paperwork and, you know, finding
things up and up and not using that kung fu grip.
And finding copper at the bottom of the ocean. It's not as exciting as finding El Dorado, you know?
Right.
Like,
right.
but he's trying really hard to make that sacrifice for Elena because...
Can you imagine, like, after you give up that life, like, you can't put that shit on your resume because it's kind of illegal. Mm-hmm. Half the shit you're doing. So how do you end up, like, I commend him for even getting, like, a pretty decent job without being able to disclose all the really cool things that he right. has done that would, you know, probably hinder him getting a job.
So he ends up coming home from work and Elena's, you know, working on stuff because she's been doing guides and things to exotic places and reviews, so she still travels.
So she works for the travel network.
Basically, so she's like, the thing that she's working on is her big thing about Bangkok. You know, so she's still traveling to these exotic places and working on this stuff, and you can tell that they've got a good relationship, but it's still a little strained. And
mundane for them.
It is. It really is. Like, she's like, oh, I'm just finishing this up, babe. Dinner's ready. Can you go get it? And so he, like, goes and gets the pasta dishes and brings them back. And
oh, they're
like,
eating pasta.
They're supposed to take turns doing the dishes and stuff. So she's like, okay, well, you know, we take turns. And he's trying to get out of the dishes. So he's like, I'll play you for it. And she's like, you're going to try to beat my top score of the game. And he's like, yeah, I am. Turns out the game is Crash Bandicoot. So you get to play Crash Bandicoot. In the game. Okay. It's so right. meta.
That's that. Good job on you, Naughty
okay.
Dog.
Okay. And you. It's so weird because it's inverted. So you have to use the D-pad. You can't use the analog stick, you know, Crash Bandicoot style. And it is legit Crash Bandicoot. And I sucked at it because you're basically playing a character, playing a game. So it's looking back at you. So you actually have to hold the down button. Oh, on the D-pad to make Crash move forward. It's very, very awkward. But it makes sense when you think about it.
They want you to lose.
Right. And so they're adding a layer of difficulty to beat Elena's score. I never beat Elena's score. I'm being upfront about that. But it was very interesting to see Crash Bandicoot in the game and actually play Crash Bandicoot in the game. So Naughty Dog, double thumbs up for that. You go along and then you have this break where you are Kid Nathan again.
Is it the same age from Sexy Scully time?
It's not exactly the same age from Sexy right. Scully time. It's like a little bit after Sexy Scully time.
Okay.
And Nathan is basically at an orphanage. He's at a private orphanage, a Catholic one for boys, and he had gotten into a fight with someone, so he wasn't able to go on this like outing, and this nun is giving him shit for it, and he's like, look,
isn't that what nuns do, give shit?
And he's like, look, I didn't fight him just about the book, but he won't offer up why he really got into the fight. And then his older brother Sam shows up.
Older brother Sam.
He thinks the person flashing the light at his room is Sully. So he breaks out and you do your first Nathan Draking across the...
And you're a natural, right?
You're somewhat of a natural. There are a couple jumps that you don't make and you entirely on your own. One is luck that you bounce off and land where you're supposed to be. And the other is your brother actually catches your arm and pulls you up. Otherwise, you wouldn't have made the jump.
Oh, okay.
And so you get over there, and you find the backpack, and then you see this guy who kind of looks a little bit like an older Nathan Drake, and he introduces himself as Sam. And Sam is an opportunist. Okay.
Okay.
And Sam will often, I will say this, will often get Nathan into shit that Nathan really doesn't need to get into, but he's doing it because it's his brother and it's the only other family he has, because, you know,
story of my fucking life.
His mom, their mom, you know, died. They don't have their dad, and they're...
Oh my God, it's our life.
Okay, wait, listen. Sorry. So here's what you learn through the backstory, is that Sam was off and was getting ready to go work another job that was going to take him out of the city and away from...
Drake,
away from Nathan, and I'm being very specific about this, away from Nathan for a year. And so he wanted to have, like, one last hurrah with Nathan before he left. And Nathan caught on to him. He's like, you're only this nice to me, like, before you drop a bomb on me. Like, what are you doing? And so he's like, yeah, I've got this job opportunity. It's going to make us a lot of money, but I'm going to, like, be gone for, like, a year. But I'll be back.
Wait. So you have an older brother.
Yeah.
Who's not in the orphanage.
No.
But you're in the orphanage.
Yes. Because he was old enough to leave.
Oh,
he didn't get adopted.
He aged out.
My
Qualis LeFouque, why yeah, not no. take your he, bro? Be he, like, I'll adopt you. You're my aged, son now. That's
he,
weird.
He aged out, but because he didn't have a steady job or steady money, can't take his brother. It. Okay?
Got
right?
It.
All right. So he's out, comes back for Nathan. He's like, I found mom's journals. Because, you know, they're constantly looking for connections with their mom. Because she was the historian in the family. And the reason why they know all the stuff that they know, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, and I found it, and you're not going to believe it. The place where they are, there's basically nobody there. I've been casing it for weeks, so let's go in there, find mom's journals, and that'll be, like, our thing for us, you know, before I go. So they find this mansion. It's unbelievably sprawling. They're able to make it in, and as they're going through, like, it's just filled with all these artifacts that they know about, a sarcophagus and all this kind of stuff. And it turns out that there was a adventurer, who was also an archaeologist named Evelyn, who ended up, if you search enough clues, you learn, worked with their mom. And not only worked with their mom was actually her assistant.
Oh.
She was the one who theorized that Sir Francis Drake had heirs and that he faked his own death. You learn that this is where the boys learned that fact, and that's why Nathan went off on the Drake exploration.
Right.
Okay. Which is cool. Like, all these little nuggets that they stream together. They finally, in this last room that they search, they find her journals, and the journals start talking about Libertalia. Okay, which was the pirate Avery's lore that he had created a great pirate city that no one was able to find, and there was like over $400 million worth of treasure there.
Hell yeah, let's
and
go.
Exactly, and that's what the boys decide. And just as they're leaving, they run into Evelyn, who is this old woman, and if you're paying attention earlier on, you realize is dying of cancer.
Of course.
And she's just this old, frail, bibbidi-bobbidi. But still strong enough to hold a gun and is getting ready to shoot the boys and is like, give me back my journal. And so Sam was like, look, lady, you don't have to do this. All we want is our mom's journal and we'll go. And she's like, your mom's. And she's like, wait, to refer, I can't remember if it was Catherine or Camille or whatever. But at the end of the day, she's like, was your mom? Oh my God. You're the mama mama boys. Because the initials were CM. So you learn that Drake is not their actual name.
Right.
Okay.
Oh.
And so she'd already called the police. So the police are starting to come, and she walks towards the door, and she's like, look, I'll take care of the police. You guys found your own way in. I'm sure you can find your own way out. But as she's walking to the door, she collapses and dies.
Of course.
So the boys are like, holy shit, we got to get out of here because the cops are going to think that we did this. So you escape the mansion and you escape the cops. You get down by the docks, and that's where Sam proposes that, hey, they're going to be looking for Sam and Nathan, whatever their last name begins with an M. But we could change our names and they won't find us, you know. And mom always thought that Sir Francis Drake had heirs. Who's to say that he didn't? So that's when you learn that that's the moment that Nathan became Nathan Drake and Sam became Sam Drake.
Ah.
Okay, so then it fast forwards. And you basically pick up with, again, Nathan in the humdrum area, okay, and having a flashback
of his life.
And having a flashback to that time that he was searching with his brother Sam and another guy named Rafe for Avery's treasure, and they had gotten themselves into a prison that they believed was a backdoor into a tower that would either have the treasure or clues about the treasure. Okay. And so Nathan does the Nathan thing, and it's basically the thing that teaches you how to climb as grown Nathan.
Up, getting your kung fu grip.
Yep. Oh, mad kung fu grip. There are just so many finger grips in this game that you're like, no human being could possibly fucking make that. Like, you're that's dead. Spider. You're dead. Okay? Not even a jumping spider would land that shit. Like, you
give
are
one of those
dead.
Frogs with the bulby things on its fingers.
Okay? Spider-Man, maybe.
Mexican jumping tree frog.
Spider-Man, maybe. And that's just because he could shoot webbing. Like, for reals, not reals, but doesn't matter because the action's awesome. So you continue through the story and learn that the tower wasn't there, but there are clues under a cathedral in Scotland. But the guard that you bribed to get you into this jail and towards the tower catches on that, hey, this $200,000 cut that you said he was going to get ain't shit compared to the $400 million that you guys are going to get, so either you cut him in for half or he's going to shoot you. Well, Rafe shoots him instead. Now, Rafe is a rich boy. He's a privileged rich boy. He's also an asshole.
Gotta have one or two in the game, right?
So you guys now have to escape this prison. And Sam gets shot, pushing you up, and falls off a building. And Nathan's like, I gotta go back. And Rafe's like, no, we gotta make it to the plane. So you gotta go. So Nathan is beside himself and believes that his brother has died. Because he took a shot, basically a shotgun shot to his side, right where his kidneys and stuff was, and then fell off a building. So, rightfully so, Nathan believed he died.
And see, I watched that Sherlock Holmes movie with Robert Downey Jr., and you can get beaten up and tossed off of a big cliff and still not die.
If you suspend your disbelief, if you're Robert Downey Jr., or in this case, if you are the linchpin that's going to drive the story forward. So, we move a little bit further down the road, past the last two explorations. Turns out, Sam, not dead. Sam,
that's what I thought.
Tracks down Nathan. Nathan's like, holy fucking shit, dude. Like, holy fucking shit. And Sam begins to tell him the story about how, you know, the doctors, if you can call him that, found him, patched him up a little bit, you know, enough so he could live, and that, you know, everybody at the prison was like, hey, you killed a guard, so fuck you, because Nathan's like, I looked for you, and everything said that you were dead, and all these death notices, and da-da-da-da-da, and he's like, look, I killed a guard, they kept me in a deep, dark hole, so of course they told everyone I was dead, and for the last 15 years, I've been not dead.
And right, so can we pause for just a second here?
All right.
I'm assuming that does this all happen before the title screen? Has the title screen happened by this point? I'm just curious.
So the real title scene has not happened yet.
Okay. So from what
we haven't gotten to the roll credits of A Thief's End. It's not until you start the journey to actually go to Scotland that you get that credit.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So this is all preamble. We're getting it. Like, we know we're playing
so
Uncharted.
Far, all of this, like, there's no Sully. So all this setup.
Come on, because I'm running out of time.
All right, I'm sorry. I have so much to talk about. My whole thought of, you know, this being like Sully's last ride, and it's kind of like a prequel, sequel, pre-sequel with the introduction of Sam.
Yeah, well, here, because, okay, all right, okay. So anyway, we're going.
That's it.
All right.
Go back.
So we're like, hey, we got to get to Scotland, and we got to find this thing, and Nathan's like, I know a guy, and Sam's like, not that guy, and he's like, no, trust me, he can be trusted, he's like family, and Sam's like, no, fuck him, and then Nathan calls Sully, and it's like, hey, Sully, so here's the deal, we have to find this cross, because it's intact, and we think it's going to lead us to Avery's thing, and it's at this black market sale, and I know that you know the guy's there, and he's like, yep, I can get you in, so let's do this thing, so that's where Sully comes in.
Okay.
Okay, and Sully comes in multiple times in the story because he's the transportation. He's also a badass. All right, so you go, you do the thing, you steal the cross, you're on your way. Rafe's still in the mix, and the black chick.
Oh, that we saw in the little teaser bit.
Yep, so she actually has an army, a mercenary army. They're pretty badass. She's also pretty badass. That's why she's able to kick Nathan's ass, and she does kick your ass.
But
like, there's no way to win that fight.
So, okay, so here comes this lady who knows the shit that you're kind of up to, has an army. Why do I have this weird suspicion of, like, betrayal?
All right, will you just listen, okay?
I'm just getting betrayal tingles.
Yep, okay, keep the tingles. I'm not saying that the tingles are wrong or right, I'm just saying keep the tingles. Okay, so it turns out that Rafe has hired her to help find this treasure. Okay, they still think that they're after just Avery's treasure. Nathan figures out that Avery actually got other pirate captains to collude with him. He did, in fact, create Libitalia.
Okay.
A whole city, architecture, everything that was hidden someplace, and got all these pirate captains to collude and store all their treasure together. So the treasure that is there, because they're talking Spanish gold, and
it's way more than
$400 million.
Million.
Okay, so Sam is just like, green-eyed monster, we gotta get this at any cost and all that kind of stuff. And he tells Nathan that, you know, the main reason that he's gotta find it and he's on, you know, this short leash to find it is because while he was in prison, he was bunked up with this guy named Alcazar, who's basically the baddest ass cartel leader ever.
Mm-hmm.
And he broke Sam out on the condition and gave him 3 months to find that treasure and give him half, or he would kill him.
Oh.
So that's the thing that, like, made Nathan go, okay, I'm gonna lie to Elena, and I'm gonna go off and do this thing with my brother, because if I don't, he's gonna die, and I just got him back in my life.
I'm just saying, so if you're locked in prison with, like, the baddest badass to ever badass.
Yeah.
And he's like, look, I'll break you out.
Oh, he didn't tell him that that's why he was breaking him out. See, you go through the breakout, and he's like, come on, Sam. And so you're just running with him and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, and then he's like, by the way, find me this money or I'm going to have my
Right, and so you're in the van after you've made the getaway with his guys and killed a bunch of people on your way out. And he's like, all right, so, Sam, what are you going to do next? And he's like, oh, man, I'm going to, like, get some sun on my face and get a warm body to lay next to, maybe get some beers and... you know, enjoy, like, being out in the world. And he's like, oh, yeah, that sounds good. That sounds good. So, how long do you think it's going to take you to find the treasure? And he's like, what? He's like, you know, Avery's treasure. Like, how long is it going to take you to find it? And he's like, I don't know. It's going to take a while because I got to do all this. And so he then says something in Spanish and all of his dudes stop the van. And he, like, throws him out of the van, puts a knife to his throat. And he's like, no, really. How long is it going to take you to find our treasure? And he's like, 6 months? And he goes, oh, lazy, lazy Americans. You got 3 months.
Oh, man.
And he hands him a gun and a wad of cash. And he's like, there's a city 10 kilometers that way. And don't worry, I'll find you wherever you are. So don't run. Don't try to hide. Because when you least expect it, I'll find you.
I'll be there.
And death will be a mercy I will not grant you. And then he gets in the van with his three other vans and heads off. Okay. Wow. So, yeah.
Couldn't even give him an even number. Couldn't give him four.
No. So that's why Sam goes to find Nathan, because he knows that he and Nathan would be able to find it fast if they work together. So they get the cross, they get the clues, they head to Scotland. You play some mini games where you have to figure out what you need to push. And I will tell you right now, because I was hell bent on getting through this in basically a day, I played the game on easy so that I wasn't taking too many bullets to the head. And the puzzles were not crazy difficult. So I blew through most of them, which was nice. So you get deeper in, and again, the storytelling is gorgeous. The detail and the treasures that you pick up. I will say that the mechanics, as far as aiming, are improved. You can set it up to auto-aim if you want. I didn't want that because I didn't want the camera refocusing away from where I wanted to go. But you can lock onto targets, so you can tag people by holding the L2 button, so you can put a red reticle on top of where you're aiming. And I really liked that mechanic because it allowed me to much clearer see where I was aiming. Because there were times where you'll see that you think you're pointing in one direction, but actually where you're aiming is a little bit up and to the left of that. So it was really nice to get a double reticule so I knew exactly who I was going to be putting bullets into.
Mm-hmm.
I actually ran through the whole game without using a single grenade.
Wow, okay.
Oh, I probably should have used some grenades at some point, but I was like...
would have been helpful.
I was like, fuck this, Leroy Jenkins! Da, 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 da. There's a great range of guns in the game, and the gunplay... you know how sometimes in an action game it can feel like it's added on?
Yes.
They're like, oh, this is an action game, let's put an explosion here, and let's make a gunfight happen here. It doesn't really make sense, but we've got the space, so it's an empty marketplace. Gunfight... every gunfight that happens feels like it happens for a reason. You can, in the game, stealth if you want to. There's much more stealth in this game, and it's all opportunistic, so you're not forced into it. If you want to go guns blazing into an area, you can. But for most of what's going on is you're fighting Nadine, the black chicks, mercenaries in different places. Basically, every time you find a clue and you get to where you're supposed to be, Nadine's guys are either on your heels or they're already there, and you're like, they shouldn't be here, what the fuck? There's always something to hide behind or to traverse through, whether it's a crevice that you can duck down into, but there's multiple ways you can enter into a fight area. My favorite is any place that you're at that has high grass, because you can hide in high grass. And you can basically knock people out, almost like assassins, where you could kill a guy and bring him into a hay bale. Same thing. You can kill a guy, it doesn't alert other people, and if you hide the body in the grass, then other guys that are still patrolling don't get alerted. So I found that the best mix for me was to try and take out at least half of the guys that you see in an area, because everybody you see, double that. That's how many people are actually in the area. Because there are people who are, like, on lower levels that are walking paths that you can't see right off the bat. So when you look, you're like, oh, there's only, like, six guys. I got this. Actually, there's, like, 12 guys. You just don't see the other six. So it's really best to, like, anybody that you see when you walk into a fight area to figure out if there's a way that you can stealth them. Because double it, that's how many people are actually in the area. And they are not dumb AI. They will gang up on you. You will have people that will try to snipe and will... try to hit you with shotguns, blunt up close. They will grab you and instigate a melee fight and try to hold you while other dudes shoot at you. So the AI is not dumb. So really use the stealth. It's actually useful and not just a thrown-in game mechanic in this version of the game, which was really nice. So I did a lot of that. I killed Nathan 19 times. And I killed him 19 times because I was trying to figure out, like, whether or not a rock that I thought I could grab onto, I could. Turns out I couldn't. Or a place that I thought that I could swing to then grab on, turns out, couldn't actually get that arc going. So there were more accidental kills because of my error than because of camera error or mechanic error. And that was great. I didn't die a single time because of the camera or because of a mechanic failing. So all my deaths were on me.
Okay.
There's a lot of sliding in this game.
Ah.
Okay. And sliding to jump off something to grab onto something else. Mm-hmm. And it's directional sliding, so you have to, like, avoid obstacles. Make a jump to get into another...
scary, slidey event that happens in The Evil Within where you're dodging, like, sharp things and...
there's multiples
razors and...
multiples of those. So you do need to, when you come into an area, be observant about the area to figure out, okay, what can I slide down? What can I grab on? Exactly.
That's dangerous.
and that feels really natural in the game, right? Because I'm exploring an area that I've never explored. I should actually survey the area before I jump into it.
Hell, I survey areas that I know because sometimes things shift.
All right, so now let's
bunk you in the head.
Let's get into the spoilers because we've talked about the mechanics. The cameras are good. You can control
them. Yeah, spoil all the things. All
right, so you go on in the game and, you know, you're Nathan fucking Drake. So you're finding clues and you're putting it together and realizing the deal and all that stuff. I kept noticing we're supposed to be smarter than Rafe, right? Like, we're supposed to be ahead of them. And yet every time we figure out where we're supposed to go next, which there's no way Rafe could know because he's not as smart.
Nathan, bug your penis?
No. Listen. And so I started noticing.
Shit in your shit so they know where your shit is?
Listen. So I noticed this, like, after the second mission. I'm like, okay. Her guys aren't supposed to be over here because we were absolutely sure that he was looking in the wrong place. So why are these dudes fucking over here? And then we go to another area and be like, all right, well, Rafe's not going to know yet to go to this place. So we're going to get there first and we'll have the lead. And you get there and you get into an area and Nadine's guys are there. And you're like, what the fuck? Like, there's no way that I'm leaving behind enough clues for Rafe to pick this up fast enough.
They're tracing
right.
you.
So you learn that, hey, you guys have been using these cell phones. And these cell phones have GPS. And so Rafe had been tracking Sully's cell phone. And he's been tracing the GPS. So at that point, you destroy the phones. And you're just like, yeah. Well, that fucking sucks. And that's after completing a really fun puzzle that I enjoyed.
Elena, I hope you're not trying to call me now because my phone broke.
Okay, so now you guys are working off of, like, satellite phones and shit like that so that you can't be traced and whatever.
And blah, blah, blah. Okay. I've been doing it from the jump.
Right. But I'm like, okay, all right, that explains it. But then you go, like, another two missions and Nadine's guys are there. And I'm like, why in the fuck is this happening? And I'm not putting two and two together because I'm so engrossed in the game and the other stuff.
Well, but they got rid of the phone, so what else could they possibly have been hacking into to know where the fuck people
were
going?
They weren't hacking into anything. As it turns out, you get busted by Elena after one of your bigger missions where you and Sully and your brother get banged up and shit. You head back to your safe room place, and Elena's there, and Elena's pissed.
Well, of course, because
you've been lying to her for, like, 3 weeks because she thought you were working the Malaysia job because you lied. And she's upset. And You get upset at Sully and tell him to go and take care of her and watch her and keep her safe, because you're going to keep doing what you're going to keep doing. And your brother's like, she'll forgive you. And you're like, shut the fuck up, Sam. Let's just get this treasure so we can save your life. And so you go on to the next mission, and it's basically you and Sam. Sully drops you off. You end up running into Rafe and Nadine, and Rafe's like, yeah, I'm going to kill you all now. You're not going to get any of my treasure. And Nathan's like, look, you need me to actually get this thing. And I'll tell you right now, you can have all of Libertalia. I just need enough to save Sam's life. And he's like, what do you mean save Sam's life? And he's like, because he's into Alcazar for all this money. And then Sam's like, Nathan. And as soon as he said that, I was like, oh, he fucking lied. He lied. And Rafe lays it all out that, yeah, he did. Alcazar died 6 months ago. Rafe bailed Sam out of the prison because he found him there and was like, you're going to help me find this treasure.
So your brother's a dick.
Your brother is a dick. Your brother is a dick. He lied to you. He's like, oh, he told you that you had to save his life. Oh, Sam, that's just a fucked up move. And Sam's like, look, you need us. We're going to find the Drake to find the thing. And he's like trying to apologize. No, at this point, Nathan's like, I fucked over Sully. I've broken up my marriage to save you because you just came back to my life. And you fucking lied to me? Like, fuck you. And so Rafe is like, actually, you know what? I do need a Drake, but I don't need both Drakes. And so he decides he's going to shoot Nathan, because evidently he didn't really like Nathan ever. And Sam tries to jump in front, takes a bullet to his shoulder, grazes him, but Nathan falls off the cliff. They think he's dead. So now Nadine and Rafe and Sam are off trying to find the treasure. And Nathan is banged up, not dead, banged the fuck up. Elena finds him.
Okay.
So then you run through a bunch of missions that are you and Elena. And as you're going through trying to solve these puzzles and stuff,
you're pairing up your marriage because you're both missing talking. And you're discussing.
You're talking.
Oh.
Not quite repairing, but every once in a while you share some truth. And it gets really awkward at times. Like Elena will say something to shut Nate down, and he will just, okay. And then later have a dialogue by himself. He's like, oh, real smart Drake. Talented
no,
woman like
so
that. And you pissed her off.
Of
that's brilliant.
Couple, though. I love that they're putting that nuance in there.
It really is. So they go through all this stuff and they end up like going through this big slide and all kinds of shit happens. And they end up at this point and they're laying down and made it through this booby trap. And Elena ends up getting hurt. And she's just laying there and, like, not moving. And Nathan starts to lose his shit. He's like, no, 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 no. Come on, come on, come on, beautiful. Wake up, wake up. And she's like, oh, got you. And he's like, not cool, not cool, not fair. He's like, okay, that just made up for every dick thing I ever did, ever. Because that was a real dick move. Real dick move. And she's like, oh, this isn't even close to making up for that. And so they talk about some other stuff, and at the end of it, she's like laying on top of him basically, and he's like, good talk. She's like, good talk. And they go to kiss, and then there's an explosion at the volcano, because they're on an island with a volcano, because alright. So they continue on. Sully's in the mix, because Sully's the one who dropped her off. Again, they're on the hunt. And now all Nathan wants to do is get to Sam, because he's sure that once Sam leads him to the treasure,
that Rafe
is going to kill him. So at this point, he's like, I just want to save Sam and get out. I don't give a shit about the treasure. I don't give a shit about finding Libertalia. Let's just get Sam and let's bounce out. So that's what the rest of the mission is. And it's Nathan and Elena going after Sam. And ultimately, they do discover Libertalia. And it's absolutely astounding, and they're constantly talking about all the money that Avery spent with the other founding captains and all the architecture, because it's amazing. It looks like a London city, but it's been hidden behind this volcano, basically, on this island, and it's absolutely stunning. And you're going through the ruins of the houses because it looks like everything's been flooded in the lower lands, except for this one mansion up on the higher lands. And Nathan's like, that absolutely has to be Avery's place. And so they're like, well, then why was everything down here flooded? And as you go through, you learn that there was a rebellion, that, you know, people of Libertalia believe that the founders, the founding captains, stole all their money and retreated to this higher land in Libertalia, and that there was infighting amongst the captains, and at some point, the lower level area got flooded, and the only house that remained was Avery. So you start putting two to two together, and you go, okay, well, the captains were fighting, and evidently Avery was like, fuck all y'all, and had built in a safeguard to flood the lower lands to kill everyone.
Which he did.
But at one point, he and Thomas II, who was his right-hand man, got all the captains together, because you eventually, with Elena, discover Thomas's mansion, and there are all these people who are sitting around this table, all dressed in pirate garb, but they're all dead. And they're all next to a glass or holding a glass, and you realize that...
They were all poisoned.
They were all poisoned. So then it was just Avery and Two. And then they had fighting. You start going through Avery's house and his bunkers and realizing just how tortured a fucking dude he was. Like, all of his men, he believed, turned on him, and he killed them and strung them up. So, like, you walk into an area, and they're like, these are all the hands that stole from me. And it's just these gobs of arms, skeleton arms that were grouped together, hanging like chandeliers from the ceiling. And you're like, eh? And then you go into another area, and it's just all these chest cavities, and it's like the hearts that turned against me. And you're like, what the fuck?
Wow.
Avery, dude. I mean, there's like 30 of them. Like, and you're like,
there's some effort there, because he had to kill them all.
Chop up all their bodies, dismember them all,
and then string them up.
And then the witty thought for the signs. Then you walk into another one. If you make it through all the fucking corpses, the mummies that he created, that all have explosives. So if you walk too fast near them, it rumbles them, which sets off the explosive. And if you're next to two of them, it will kill you and you'll have to start all over again.
Okay.
So you have to slowly walk through these caverns, not get too close to the mummies to set off the explosions. And then you walk into another room. And the one that really fucked me up was the one that was full of all the jaws.
Oh.
Which were all the mouths that lied to me. Mm-hmm. And you're like, ew! Ew! Oh, you took their jaws! That's nasty! Because when you killed them, they weren't skeletons, they were people! Ew! Ew, that's
gross. How'd he get all the flesh off?
Oh, well, he didn't get the flesh off. It eroded over time. He strung those up as fully fleshed things, which makes it even grosser.
You mean the lower jaw, right?
Yeah, the lower jaw.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't bounce into a room that just had skulls with no jaws. So it was just the lower jaws. So he cut off all their jaws and strung those up. Yeah, and there's like 30 in the room. It's not like there's three. There's like 30. And you're like, oh, disgusting. So you finally realize that he had had the treasure taken out by a secret passage to his boat, because he was about to dip out with all the treasure. And so you're making a beeline to get there. And you run into Sam, and you're able to save him in this big-ass gunfight. And he's like, all right, let's go get the treasure. And you and Sully and Elena are like, no, let them have it. They're not going to get off this fucking island with it. We need to get out of here with our lives. And reluctantly, Sam's like, okay. So you start making your way towards Sully's boat, and then an accident happens, and you get separated from Sam. And Sam's like, I'm sorry, Nathan. I got to go back for it. You guys be safe. And so then Elena's like, he's going to get himself killed. Come on, let's go and get him. You and Elena and Sully start tracking back to try and get Sam. You get to a place where only you can progress, and Elena's like, just do it. We'll go get the plane. You call us when you're ready, but you better fucking survive, because it's your turn to do the damn dishes.
Aha! Call back.
All right. So, final missions. You going after Sam. There's a mission called My Brother's Keeper, and I really thought that was the one that Drake was going to die in. Because, again, the name of the game is A Thief's End. So, right. You know a thief is coming to an end. And right. You and I fought about this, Panda, about whether or not that end was going to be the end of Sully.
Yeah.
And I said, no, it's not, because that would be a dick-ass move to take the only father that you've had as a father figure in the entirety of these games away from Nathan Drake at the end of all things.
Very true. Okay. But for the
And
narrative.
I was right. Sully does not die. All right, moving on. So then it becomes, well, shit. We are talking about a thief's end, and the whole thing around Avery was that he was focused on this saint, Didymus, I think.
Okay.
Which he was, you know, the story of Jesus when he was crucified was that there was a thief that was on his right
side. Also hung, but one was hung upside down, and then one was, I think, a little further behind
Jesus. Right. And one was penitent, one was a thief who was sorry for what he did, and the other one was not. Okay, so there's this whole theme of, like, Jesus and the penitent saint, the penitent thief, and the not penitent thief, the bad thief and the good thief. Okay.
Oh, right? Sam and Sam.
Right. Okay. So now continuing on. So you get to my brother's keeper, and that's when I'm like, oh, shit. Is this where Nate is going to die for Sam? Fuck, because the good thief would do that for the bad thief. Right? And that would be the end of a thief. Fucking hell. So now I start thinking about this. And you get through and down into the mission, and I'm not going to give it all away, because it's really clever what you have to go through. And ultimately, you end up in a fight with Rafe, okay? And in the treasure chamber, the main treasure chamber of...
Libertania.
The boat. So we're through Libertania, and we are actually on Avery's ship. He never made it off the island. And you find out that he had a fight, and they killed each other. You look over, and you see that they stabbed each other with their swords, and they both died, and they never made it out, because they had killed all the men all the way to the boat. So it's just the two of them that needed to sail the boat, and they fought, and they killed each other, and they died in their treasure room together.
Okay.
And so Nate's like, just look around you. It's Nadine. She's like, everybody who is attached to this treasure, obsessed with it, dies and never makes out with it. So you know what? I'm outie. I got what
really,
I need.
You go all the way through, dude?
Well, because Rafe bitch slapped her and convinced her men.
Well, so you hit a woman.
Yeah. I mean, bitch slapped her, like, across the face with the butt of his gun. When she's like, look, I've got my millions to get my guys back up on. We're good. And he's like, no, actually, I promised them a bigger cut. The thing about mercenaries, they work for money. So, fuck you. They're my guys now. And you're coming along. And so she acts like she's... So this is why I said your betrayal tingles was correct. She acts like she's still on board with Rafe, but you hit me in the face? Nah, fuck you, dude. So when she gets to the point where he's like, hold a gun on Nathan, she actually lines up behind him and is like, no, actually, you give me your gun and fuck you, I'm out. And she bounces, takes what she needs to get back on her feet, and she's gone. So good for you, Nadine. So you're left in a room where your brother Sam is pinned down by this big fucking beam that is broken, and you have to fight Rafe.
Okay.
And first, you have to knock him senseless, and he picks up a rapier, because, you know, he's a rich dude, so he knows how to fence.
He knows how to fight.
And so you first gotta go through the section where you dodge correctly, because he either parries to the left or to the right, and so you have to dodge correctly, understand which way he's coming, and then dodge to not take too much damage, and then you ultimately get a sword, and so then the two of you sword fight.
Very similar to Thomas 2 and...
Yep. And you're going to kind of lose the sword fight. And in the last couple of minutes, Sam's going to do something awesome that's going to allow you to get the drop and kill Rafe. But now you got to get out of this fucking boat because it's on fire and you're about to die. And Sam's like, just go. I, you know what? We found this together and that's all I wanted to do with you. And I'm so proud of who you are, but I need to know that you get out of here. So you got to get out of here. And you're like, fucking hell, it's Sam that's going to die.
Okay.
That's going to be the thief's end. But it's not. Ha ha. Okay, Nathan figures out that, hey, I'll just take this cannon and I'll blow a hole in the boat and we'll sink. That'll put out the fires. I'll be able to lift up the beam and we could swim the fuck out of here. And you do. And you have like a Goonies moment, you know, like at the end where like the cave-in is happening and everybody's got to get out from the cave-in before it like closes up. That same thing happens. So the boat gets buried and you're able to get to Elena, and Elena singles Sully and everybody gets on the boat and everybody gets away.
Okay.
So they get back to the city, and Drake's like, all right, Elaine and I are going to get in this cab. We're going to head home. And so he's like, I can just fly you there. He's like, no, actually, I want to get on a plane where I can, like, you know, get first-class service and not have to worry about turbulence and things like that. Plus, it'll be good for us. So they head off, and Sam is just like, you know, I'm not really done with all of this stuff. He's like, so, Sullivan, what are you working on next? And he's like, oh, I got this thing, and, you know, it's a little rough. And he's like, dangerous? He's like, it might be. And he's like, do you need any help? And he's like, well, do you know anybody?
You're going to get together.
Yep, exactly. So then they run off and have some adventures together.
So the thief's end is Nathan giving up the thieving life.
Correct.
That's his end. His end in the job, but not his end in his life.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So Sully lives, and he runs around the world with Sam for a while until he retires. And we only find out he retires because there is an epilogue. So... Oh. And in the epilogue, you're playing Crash Bandicoot again. So you're like, oh, yeah, I'm about to win. I'm about to do all the dishes and stuff because I'm not going to beat Elena's score. And it's not Nathan. It's this young girl with glasses who has blonde hair.
Oh, God, he had a kid.
He and Elena have a daughter named Claire. And so she starts going through the house with her dog, gorgeous dog, trying to find her parents. Can't find her parents. Find some other things. Okay. Goes out to a boat. Because they're on this gorgeous island, like,
how in the middle of nowhere. An island? Oh, Sam had some money and he gave her some money.
He hid some of the doubloons on Elena.
Okay.
So Elena buys JMI, because Nathan goes back to work in there, doing paperwork, being pissed. Buys it, gets the permits to do the Malaysia job the right way, and so that's how they go off into the sunset.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
Cracking jokes and all kinds of stuff. Then you get the epilogue, and you get Claire. And she's going through the house trying to find her parents. She can't find her parents. They actually have two houses on this side of this island that they're on. She was a junior adventurer and stuff. She just thinks that her mom was an archaeologist, and her dad did deep-sea diving. She really? Goes to the secondary house where all the scuba gear is and stuff, because, again, she hasn't found them. And she finds her dad's keys, and she's like, wait, he left his keys. And he's always kept this one cupboard locked. She unlocks the cupboard because she's never been allowed into it. And there's all the trinkets from the previous Uncharted games. And then old-ass Drake, like, with gray hair and everything, and Elena walk in because Claire is, like, 15 or 16. And so she discovers, like, the bauble that helped figure out the Sir Francis Drake thing. So it's all the key things from the previous games, including the coin that they used to solve everything from this last outing in 4. And finally, Nathan has to come clean about
their life and what he did
before she was born. And that's how it ends, with him telling her all the different stories from, like, finding El Dorado and the whole Drake thing and your mom being along for it and blowing up some people and all that kind of stuff. And she's just, like, absolutely floored by it. And that's how the game ends.
Aww.
Like, it is the absolute perfect thief's end and completely does not set up Uncharted to run any other way. Sully is retired with Sam. Nathan is done. They're not going to pick up with Claire because she's only 15 and we don't need another Lara Croft.
That's Uncharted right. We already got a reimagining. That's fine.
Uncharted is done. But it was a hell of a journey. If you are a fan of any of the Uncharted games, you have to play 4.
Okay.
It is a fantastic game.
I'm glad that my narrative instinct was wrong.
Yep, totally wrong. Sully survives.
Yeah.
Makes it to retirement.
I'm glad. But remember, like...
And Sam doesn't die.
Right. But then again, at the same time, in most, I don't want to say book narratives, because this doesn't always happen, but most times, like in shows, like sometimes they'll set up super new characters with either the decision to extend that character and branch them out or make them fodder. So when you first brought him up, I'm like, so we're hearing about this brother all of a sudden now. He's an older brother who's far more reckless and spur of the moment and going with the flow.
Yep.
And they both Drake and Sam often obviously show signs of like strong obsession. Because we saw that in third one.
And the difference between the two, much like the good thief and the bad thief,
yeah,
is that Drake does have the moment of realization where he's letting the obsession cloud his judgment and right. takes the step back. Sam does not.
Like, when you first brought it up, my first thought was like, okay, so if Sully doesn't go, I'm like, then they're going to put us in a position where... it's one or the other of the brothers, because we've had only one Drake this whole time. So yep. Why give us an excess and not tease us to the fact that we may.
And they do. And they do hit you multiple times with you're going to lose a Drake. You're about to lose a Drake, or you lost a Drake. And it turns out, no,
he's fine.
My Drake's OK. Not that he's fine. My Drake's OK. Like when Drake falls off that.
I think that was a great foil, because from the way you were describing how in the beginning, when they were younger and Sam fell off of a cliff, and now we have the reversal happening in this game where, you know, there's a scuffle and Nathan's the one who falls off the, like, it's this great
everything foil comes kind of full circle.
They close all those gaps.
From start to finish, they were able to find the thing that their mom was working on, the last thing that she was working on. They did it together.
Yep.
They came back together.
Now here's the thing. For such an action-driven game,
yes,
from start to finish.
Yes.
And the way that they've set stuff up,
Yes.
I understand why I made the conclusion that there was going to be a loss somewhere.
Yep.
A physical one.
Yep. I agree.
That was going to jar them into going, you know what?
I agreed with you. I always thought that they were going to, and we were going to lose someone. And I thought that it was a shitty thing, but it was going to be necessary. But the way that they did it, it felt natural, and it wasn't.
And here's the thing, and I'm sure Naughty Dog, as soon as they saw, like, the rumor mills churning, because I bet this was not the initial story that they had in mind. Because all the other games kind of set up that we lost people along the way, people that we kind of grew somewhat attached to in those narratives. Don't get me wrong, some of them turned out to be bad guys, and clearly you want to defeat the bad guy, but they all had an intended reason for the actions they took. So while their actions were wrong, you could kind of empathize.
You could. Look, we're out of time. We're definitely going to talk about this even
more about this.
Especially when you actually get your hands on it. And can play it, because I definitely want to get your feedback on some things, because there are a lot of things I glossed over, and because I want you to experience them, and I want to hear how you react to experiencing them.
Okay.
But ultimately, where we end up, and my favorite thing about this game, outside of how great the gameplay was, it was a really good end to the story. The mechanics were solid all the way through the game. You know, not dying because of a camera mechanic or a game mechanic is a great place to be in an action game. I haven't touched multiplayer yet. That's on deck. My favorite thing is, after you make it through the epilogue and after you make it through the credits, the end credit is a single thing that is just a big thank you to Amy Hennig.
Oh.
For being an inspiration and helping to guide the story of Nathan Drake and Uncharted. And I thought, that is the classiest fucking thing I have seen any game dev do in a while. Because, you know, Amy walked away because, you know, things were not going where she thought they should go, and there were other things that she wanted to do. But that is a very, very classy thing, because they didn't have to do it at all. They could have just put it as a small thing that rolled, but to end on that, make it nice and big and just its own thing, super classy. I tip my hat off to you guys. Naughty Dog, really, you did the damn thing. It is a fantastic game. It is absolutely worth every penny that I spent on it. I will more than likely play it through again, because I whizzed past stuff. Like, I barely collected any treasures. Like, I was just running to get through the story, and I'm absolutely thrilled with it. So definitely check out our podcast every single week. You can catch it on our website, electricsisterhood.com. We've got links all over the place so that you can get it pretty much wherever you want to. You can get it in iTunes on the desktop application or on your iOS device through the podcast app. Just search for the S-Cast or Electric Sisterhood and subscribe to us. You can also get us in Stitcher Radio. You can also find us on Google Play. Pretty much any podcast engine that's out there that aggregates podcasts, we're more than likely on it. So find us and listen to us however you like, whenever you like, wherever you like, but just make sure that you subscribe so when we put new episodes out, you can get them. Check out all the reviews and news and all the great content that the team is putting together every single week, every single day on our website, like I said, electricsisterhood.com. Share the stuff on social. Engage with us on social. On Facebook at Land of Esh. We're on Twitter at ESH News. We're also on Instagram at ESH News. So make sure that you follow us, like us, favorite us, share our content, ask us questions, recommend stuff for us to play. Just engage with us, because we really enjoy having the dialogue back with you guys. So in addition to us, there's also the amazing team and all of their content on all their respective sites. If you've bookmarked us, then you definitely want to make sure that you bookmark b3crew.com with the No Borders, No Race podcast hosted by our homeboy KBD. The whole team of bastards over there creating great content on games and on anime and manga and J-pop and pop music and entertainment in general. So if you're craving entertainment stuff, then definitely make sure that you check out b3crew.com. Also, check out smashrook.com, the homie hamsterman there doing streams every Wednesday night at 9. This past week, he streamed Uncharted 4, so you can actually get a taste from it from one of our very own by checking out smashrook.com and his Twitch stream. Make sure that you do engage with the chat. He loves that when you do that. Also, part of fam, for Evs and Evs, Phil the Issue Guy over at issuesprogram.com, holding it down on Phil's recap and review great, great, great recap show on YouTube Live. So make sure that you hit him up on the page when he's doing his recaps. You can be part of chat, ask questions, be part of the conversation. You can even call in live. It is crazy fun. Make sure that you check out Phil's recap and review. And last, certainly not least, fam for life, nerdcrave.com with all the stuff that nerds crave. So if you're into anime, manga, games, comics, and you don't get your fill at Esh, guess what? Dudes over at Nerd Crave coming up with all kinds of stuff that you definitely want to make sure that you check out. So with that, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And I hope you enjoyed the spoiled fucking version of Uncharted 4. Until next time, people.
Bye, everybody.